Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think it was in the best interest of my career to make a joke at the expense of the Wisconsin Badgers?
No.
Especially no, not in so, not down such here. Close relation talking to JJ, no, talking about JJ Watt.
JJ, I'll text him, but that's okay.
He listens.
I know. That was the point. I was like, ooh, he probably doesn't appreciate that joke. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports
Radio
16.
Tell you one thing right now. When the time comes, John, to dish out those autographed JJ Watt jerseys again to media members, I know who's not getting one.
I know who's not getting
Reginald
one.
Reginald Atta.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Love you, JJ. all right, let's get going here on a Friday. You're right. That is John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atta. Figgy Fig hanging out with you. You get involved with the program as in the ways that you always do. We appreciate when you do that. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. 713-572-4610. And also appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Law Firm. For the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. And baby, we made it.
We made it.
We made it through the deadest time of the year, I guess, if you were looking at the calendar sports-wise. But baseball back, baby. Mm-hmm. Baseball is back as of today. And we start the proverbial second half of the season with the Astros facing off against Big Dumper and them. Yeah. From Seattle. Yeah. Of course, the pitcher on the mound that you know you love, that you expected to see, Brandon Walter.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's him.
Okay, good. Him. Versus Luis Castillo for the Mariners today. Just excited to see this team get back to baseball, especially as they have, you know, the five-game lead in the AL West. That, you know, they've managed to traverse all of the all the landscape of trials and tribulations to this point. But those things have not gone away. We have not wiped away all of those issues. And so how does this team get themselves to be able to be where they want to be, have a successful second half of the season? In honor of the guy who we just took the baton from, John Lopez has his five-step plan.
Yes.
A la Sean Pendergast to make sure the season goes well.
I have a Sean Pendergast five-point plan. A five-point plan for a real – here's the key word, realistic. Realistic blueprint for success.
Okay.
Because we can talk about, hell, we were trading Jordan for Skeens yesterday. I mean, you know.
Well, that was a thought experiment, okay?
I'm talking about a realistic five-point plan for second half success. I'm going to go in order, and it might sound like no duh, but I want to explain it a little better. Number one is health, but wait a minute.
Really?
I'm not talking about like health.
A word.
I knew you were going to do that. I'm not like talking about health, Jordan. Health, J.P. France. Health, Luis Garcia. Health,
anyone. We all got to stay healthy to have a good season, y'all.
No. I'm talking about...
The best ability is availability, baby.
I'm talking about just get healthy like you were when you were good this year. I'm talking about Jeremy Peña, Jake Myers. I'm not getting greedy here.
Is that the lowest bar for you when it comes to health?
Realistically, yes. The whole point of this is realistic five-point plan. I'm not going to count on Jordan. I'm not going to count on Luis Garcia. I'd love to see him, but I'm not going to count. But
you're not going to count on not a single pitcher, like not even Spencer Arrigetti.
No. I'm talking about a realistic five-point plan. I'll get to Arrigetti in a minute.
Okay.
And here's the reason why. Let's not forget how good they were with just that squad. you know, not having Jeremy Peña and Jake Meyers is the reason that they've put out these lineups that are just overwhelmed. So the number one point on here is health, but not like not pie in the sky. I'm talking about like just get those two dudes back, get healthy, and you were good, man. You were really good. You were second best in the American League, second best in baseball, or third best, whatever it was, you know?
Yeah, and you don't have like. Here's the thing. I keep going back to we were constantly waiting for the shoe to drop with that particular situation because we knew like you had and I've called them the zombie Astros. Yeah. And I say that because it's just so vivid. The imagery is so vivid in my mind of you are clearly playing. What did they say? Left handed with a hand tied behind your back, what have you. Like you were clearly having some weaknesses and missing some things that you would generally have.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, all right, well, you're making do until, and now you're making do in an extravagant way, playing really, really good baseball, and playing winning baseball is probably the most important part. Do you feel like that is something that can be sustained for a whole second half of a season? Because that was one of those things that we were kind of amazed that they were making it happen during that stretch. The idea of getting just back to that level of healthy, in my mind, I have a hard time going, well, do that, and that's fine for you to continue to, like, just skate by.
Mm-hmm.
While, again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not giving them credit for that. It's been incredible what they've been able to do. Jose Altuve as a leader, Espada as a manager, all of the other people that are involved, don't mean to shortchange them. It just feels like I guess that's the realistic part of it, but I feel like the bar for health needs to be just a little higher for me.
I would love for it to be, but again, that's almost pie in the sky. And let's, and to your point of, is it sustainable is basically what you're saying.
Yes. Thank you for helping me.
Is it sustainable? They've played 96 games, man.
It's 162 of these, though.
I know, but 96 is a pretty damn good sample size.
Yeah, but 96, the additional quick math, 70-something of these, mm-hmm. right, or 60-something of these in that range, you could change your outlook very quickly if this goes in an entirely different direction. Knock on wood that does not happen, but that's the thing that I fear if you do end up in a place.
It's where still early.
It's not that early. It ain't that early. It gets late pretty quick, as Yogi Berra said. Anyway, point number two, you got to attack the trade deadline. If point number one is, let's just get these guys back, point number two has to be attack the trade deadline. If you're not going to, if you don't feel like you can count on Yordan, Eric Geddy, JP France, Luis Garcia, etc., then you have to attack the trade deadline. Prospects be damned. You know? Prospects be damned. You have a window here, man.
Okay. I don't hate that as an idea. I'm just trying to find like how you're able to do it. And I've been kind of perusing as obviously we got a little time. Yes, I say a little time. We're getting to that place where it's a week and a half or so, a couple of weeks till the trade deadline actually hits in all reality. I mean, the names like Zach Gallen, mm-hmm. names like Cedric Mullins, names like Jaron Duran. Are those the ones that feel like attacking it aggressively? And I'm not saying all of those, clearly. I don't think that you have the capital to get all of those guys.
But you got to get something in.
Those types of names. Would someone like a Cedric Mullins, an outfielder, left-handed bat, is that sufficient for you? Is that the attacking that feels like it's sufficient for what your five-point plan, five-step plan is that you're setting up?
It is, but I would approach it more towards starting pitching than left-handed bat. I get, and again, it all goes in order here, because if point one is true, and in my mind it is realistically, then point two is attack the trade deadline, and you have to get a starting pitcher. Left-handed bat, I wouldn't mind. Point number three, it ties in with exactly what we're talking about right here. Find someone, bro. Find someone in the starting rotation that can be the exception to the rule, whether it's Lance McCullers and he gets more consistent, or it is Eric Geddy or Luis Garcia. You know, find someone.
You start talking about Eric Geddy, Luis Garcia, then that's the bar of health, right? Yeah. Like, that's where they got to be healthy first before we see if they can actually be
that
level of pitcher.
Find one.
That's where
you got five dudes out there. Find one.
I'm with you there.
You know?
I'm with you there on that. And that's where I have continued to lean on the idea that you got to have one of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, one of those guys has to be able to do this. And if you are able to have one of those guys, you still want to add a pitcher on top.
Yes, I do. But I wouldn't be opposed to a left-handed bat either. Point number four, and this is sort of seeped through the cracks, and people haven't noticed it. Recapture that middle relief effectiveness.
Yeah.
It was waning. It was waning for weeks. not days. It was waning for weeks. You're good with Abreu at 8. You're good with Hader largely at 9.
Wait,
he had that
one. I was like, come on, man. Like, we can't let him have one day where it didn't look
perfect.
That's an
all-star, man.
I'm just
what
being
talking about.
I was just being funny, but apparently not. But find that middle relief effectiveness. You have to, because it was waning flat out. Point number 5. And this is a very easy one if you can do it. I mean, if you're just yourselves, win the games you're supposed to. No team has only one team, I should say, has an easier schedule in the second half than the Astros.
Correct.
Beat the teams you're supposed to. You know, even if it's 2-1, you know, and it's ugly, just win 2 out of 3 against those teams you're supposed to.
Yeah, you got 7 more against the Athletics. You got another stand or another set against the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Nationals. I don't know what to do with 7 games remaining against the Orioles, who have not been on mm-hmm. paper a good team, but it feels like they're having some pieces that are resurging in a way. Mm-hmm. The Braves they made a trade yesterday for a starting pitcher, not necessarily a great one, in Dane Dunning
mm-hmm.
From the Rangers yesterday, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
that was one of those. What do you think is happening right now? Is that them being delusional? And thinking that there are going to be some levels of buyers at the deadline? I don't know, but yeah, win the ones that you're supposed to win has been the name of the game for the Astros. Mm-hmm. I think. That is a fair thing to ask. It's what the Astros have been really good at, is just finding a way to make something shake.
Mm-hmm.
The nervous Nelly within me mm-hmm. constantly asks, are you asking too much of what you have, how spread thin you have been?
Right. And look at how they ended the first half of the season. Losing series they were supposed to win.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I came up with that, because if you can just do that, by and large, you're not going to do it every time out, but by and large, if you can just do that, the division is pretty much going to be yours. So
you're not worried about the
if
Mariners?
If you have the second easiest schedule in baseball and you win the games you're supposed to, the series you're supposed to, you're going to probably win the division. And then that gives you more time. That takes you down to the end of the season. Maybe guys get back. Maybe you did do something at the trade deadline and people start to kind of fall into a groove with this squad. If you just win the games you're supposed to, you'll be in a really good spot.
So you're not worried about the Mariners on your heels here, are you?
I mean, obviously you should be a little bit. This series is going to be pretty important. You know, 3 right out of the chute, and what do you have? A 5-game lead? You know, you can't get swept, and
really
you don't want to lose a series.
Does that feel realistic to you? The idea of a sweep? Like I'm still, and maybe this is, you know, just wishful thinking, pie in the sky thought, that the 1-5 that, you know, you kind of slunk into the All-Star break with mm-hmm. was more about a general fatigue from having to, you know, rev the motor mm-hmm. at such a high rate just to get yourself to the All-Star game. I think that with hopefully the weekend, the All-Star week yeah. gives you enough to rest, recuperate, and get back out there and get back acted. Although I guess you could go reverse of that, which is hot hand. You at least played mm-hmm. pretty good baseball this time off. Does this allow you to hit the ground running?
The way I would go reverse of that is the Mariners, I mean, if we're just being honest, they have the advantage in the pitching lineup this series.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think you have Luis Castillo. I forget who is after Luis. And then we don't know who is the probable pitcher for Sunday, but it's Luis. Logan Evans, who I think is like a 3.75 ERA right now. Not an incredible dude, but he's facing off against the Lansing Colors that typically yeah. in a vacuum of the, well, I guess I don't even know if I can say in a vacuum of the season, in the best parts of the season, you go, oh, I feel great about that matchup, except that's not
right.
That's not the Lansing Colors that we can depend on. I feel like that guy is still in there, and hopefully if he is, pursuant to what was that, .3 on your plan, was that?
Mm-hmm.
If you end up with the Lance McCullers Jr. Yeah. that is capable, then okay, we have 3 pitchers we feel good about,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving us the things, the supports that can span
yeah.
your rotation, right? You have Hunter Brown, you have Framber Valdez, you have Lance McCullers, and whatever you have in the middle, just give me a good outing as best you can, even yep. if that continues to be the .500 baseball outside of the big time guys
yeah.
that you have
yeah.
as starters. But yeah, I'm very, very intrigued to see what this Astros team looks like starting the second half. Today, Brandon Walter on the mound facing off against, I imagine, Luis Castillo. Not made official, but that was
the report.
Yeah, that was the report by Daniel Kramer, who covers the Mariners for MLB.com. So excited to see what it looks like against the Mariners team that's been playing, I guess, better baseball, 6-4 over the last 10 as they get going for the second half tonight. From the 3-4-6, let's be real. These guys will cost a lot if you thought last year was crazy for what you gave up for Kikuchi. You're going to hate
it this year. Ask me if I care. The window's open.
You're in scrape the barrel mode.
The window is open.
You're like, yep. If we got to send Arrigetti, if we got to send Bryce Matthews, if we got to send... Oh, these are nods that are happening, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, all right. We are going to have to revisit that here.
The window's
in
open.
The coming week.
Lopez must have seen that 0-for-8 or whatever Bryce Matthews has.
0-for-7.
You know what?
And counting.
I felt bad for my man.
I did too.
The eyes were big as saucers. Like, I mean, we're talking about fastballs that he couldn't get anywhere near. Now, of course, the Rangers pitching in that series, you got some tough ones to come up and face off against. But, yeah, that just felt like I give him a little bit of a pass on that particular series. But I'm still looking forward to like September when you have more of an opportunity for him to be in a role, hopefully in a role that fits a little bit more with what we expect for him at this time. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, two of the most expensive positions in the NFL have set a new floor, at least for the elites. Are the Texans going to be in that game very soon, right? Like they are, absolutely, next year. How should they play it? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss it now.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Friday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610, that's the number to text. Movings and shakings here in the National Football League, ain't it, Lopez?
Man, big time. And if you don't think it affects, you don't think they're looking at it right now over at NRG, you got another thing coming.
You really feel like, because obviously what's happening is we got another, as we're getting towards training camp, obviously, mm-hmm. for the Texans, players report on the 22nd and 23rd, we really are active. We are out there ourselves on the practice fields, broadcasting, giving you the play-by-play of what's happening on the grounds, but also just kind of getting a feel for what the 2025 Texans are going to be in full. But all these teams, all these per people in the NFL are gearing up and getting your guys ready to go as part of it. And when T.J. Watt is out here mm-hmm. dangling as though he might not actually show up for you, the Pittsburgh Steelers made sure that was not the case, giving him big time money, making him the new highest paid non-quarterback in the league, surpassing Myles Garrett's big money that came this offseason. But
3 years, 123.9, I believe. Right at 124 million.
I mean, at that point,
yeah.
Who cares? What's the difference? Yeah. Right?
Give or take a couple of hundred grr.
with a lot of it guaranteed money as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you end up with this space where, I mean, it's always been a one hand above the next league when you talk about elite players. And mm-hmm. the Texans have elite players at a couple of positions where the money is really big. But you say that, like, hey, they're definitely looking at this. Yes and no, mm-hmm. I think. When you have guys akin to, and who we're talking about here is obviously quarterback C.J. Stroud and then pass rusher Will Anderson Jr. And I feel like when you have guys like that, you have already baked in that you are going to have to get to this space. And you're already kind of approaching and looking at what the numbers are going to
be,
aren't you?
Well, you are. No question you are. But that number's rising quickly, man. And, you know, you got another year, and you're going to hit these two guys. So, I mean, they would have rather it not gone to 41 average annual value. You know, what was Myles Garrett? 39 or something like that. And so that's $2 million more per year right off the shoot in just a matter of weeks. So, yeah.
Miles was a clean 40 on average 40? Annual value.
Yeah, 40, yeah. TJ, 41.
All right, so $1 million just like that at the blink of an eye, and it's going to go up even more. Here's
what's $1 million amongst friends? Speaking of, I've been meaning to ask you.
Yeah. So, yes, they're baking stuff in, but that pie's getting bigger, man. That pie they're baking is getting bigger by the second. It is very real. Well, tell me if you agree. To me, it's a very real possibility, a probability, in all honesty, that C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. are going to combined account for about $440 million. $300 for C.J., $140, $145 for Anderson Jr. That's all. $440 million, two players? Contract. You know.
Yeah. No, I was thinking, you said $300 for C.J. And
yeah.
I'm hesitant to say that. I'm trying to think. Like,
how long of a deal in your hair are you thinking?
Yeah, what do you think the deal would be?
Well,
just guess.
Given that it's, 6 years maybe, something like that.
You think that the current MO of the Texans takes you to a 6-year deal for the quarterback? A young quarterback who probably, at least his agent, will want to get him to a place where he can get back to the table and make even more money.
See, that was my question. I feel like the Texans will want a 6-year deal to lock him in for 6 years, but just the Molagata camp, I could see them going for like a 3-year, maybe 4-year, so they could go right back to the table.
The thing more seems to be more fair on a quarterback and trying to get back to the
table. CJ's 23, man. You know, your 6-year deal makes you 29. That's a huge contract. That's a huge contract. 5-6, let's say 5-6, split the difference. But in the neighborhood of $340 million, two players is my point.
Yeah. That is. Funny enough, that doesn't move me. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and do it, right? Like, that's what you need to do. Because one of the reasons why a C.J. Stroud or, you know, whoever would like to get back to the table on the second side, on the other side of this, is the money seems to continually be going up and up with the NFL. It feels like we're reaching the stratosphere where I got questions as to how we're going to continue this growth. Like, are we reaching peak NFL money? But it seems like no, as they continue to try and expand the markets, not just in America, but then outside of America. And what can those deals possibly bring in? The various other ways with gambling and such, they bring in more revenue that then is split towards the players. But the revenue continues going up and up. And so the numbers themselves, like the raw 300, 400 million number that you're throwing out here, the additional context is, what is that in the span of, like, the salary cap? What is that percentage of the cap? That is the way that I try and view this more than anything, because the numbers have gotten so big that we can get googly eye and we can kind of lose what's happening here. Mm-hmm. But it does matter when you consider not only will you likely be in a position to be paying the highest paid quarterback, just because next up, right, without even just talking about how good he is, which I think we believe him to be very good. And then potentially the highest paid non-quarterback, Will Anderson Jr., just in the same space as the way that that Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt continue to do this, particularly if Will puts up the type of season that we want him to. The thing for me is, you're doing that, that's cool, but you're also doing that on some other fronts, like with some other players.
Yeah.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where it gets very important, and this is where I might be actually more interested in the kind of laissez-faire nature that Nick seems to have about moving around with picks. Like, I do wonder, does it quote-unquote catch up to you at that point when you need not just, you know, particular picks, but a lot of them. And I mean, he has done a good job assembling a lot of picks. in order to try and build up your team with cheap labor there when you're paying a lot of money to the top end of what you're doing.
On your first point, you know, I just had this conversation last night with my oldest son about, you know, where's the line? How much, you know, what's too much? When does it start working in reverse in terms of just the money that's being out there? I had this conversation 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I had this same conversation. Well, that's too much. There's got to be a stopping point at some point. There hasn't been. Never. And to your point, you know, when they signed this collective bargaining agreement, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is correct, there was no gambling money coming into the NFL. You know, there were no, you know.
Not like it, how it is now.
Certainly not like it is now. There was very little digital money coming in with the Amazons and the Netflix and which means more people competing for those contracts, which means more money, et cetera. So Reggie, I've had this exact conversation each decade for the last four decades. So it's I don't feel like it's going to stop anytime soon.
If you feel like that's the case, I think that I don't worry about paying the top end guys commensurate to market value, which I think you would do, especially when you believe in their capability of performing at that level. CJ Stroud, I believe in his capability of performing at that level. Will Anderson Jr., I damn sure believe in his capability at performing at that level. And so if that's the case, and we're just, I mean, the numbers are going to be big and gaudy, but if those guys are delivering like the, you know, akin to the guys that they're in that same space, and quarterback is an entirely different one at that space, but I'm good with it. Now, I think the additional portion that I imagine you wanted to get to is then you have to be really smart about the way that you do it. Like you have to be very careful. The money is going to be there. The additional level on top of it of, you know, being a good steward of it is, do you move the money? Like, how do you account this? Can you backload this, or can you put the money in certain places to make it more feasible for you to win on the perimeter?
Yeah. We can certainly dig into this more later. But my thing is, you have three options: you can front load the contracts, you can backload the contracts, or you can give the biggest guarantee. I think those are three sort of avenues that the Texans are facing. Frankly, I want to give the big guarantee. I want to give the big guarantee because I think it keeps them happy, and that's what the Texans like to do. It locks them in for that time, and I think it opens a better window for down the road because I feel, and I think the Texans feel, like this window's going to be open for an extended period of time with all their draft picks and young players. So if you backload it, you kind of limit yourself to a degree, when the window's open further down the road. If you front load it, what are you going to do with some of these other contracts, as you talked about, you know, that are open right now? So I would rather give the big guarantee. The problem is, as you've pointed out a couple of times on this show, you got to put all that money in escrow. But I don't think the Texans, I don't think that's a big issue for them.
No.
Yeah.
No, like that one, actually, I have very little concern about. I feel like Callahan got it. I feel like they got a big bank over there. I think that putting that money aside with the guarantees, and if you don't know what we're talking about, the actual mechanisms that happen in the NFL is that when money is guaranteed, the owner has to right at that time of signing put the money into escrow, so immediately they're paying
out. It's there,
as opposed to this contract says that we have to pay you at some time, and you know, when that time comes, then we'll pay you. And it's just the contract. It's almost like a credit card,
like a 401k
or what.
It's there.
But I don't have any concerns with the Texans' ability to put that money in escrow.
Would you do the big guarantee?
I think it fits in line with the way that they've operated. It'd make it just a smidge more difficult because, again, you can't be as fun with
the
accounting.
In the short term, but it keeps the window open.
And I think that, that's the most important thing. I think being consistent with your MO, especially that would be a real tough sell, is if with all these other guys, Petrie, Stingley, all these other guys you've been dealing with, we have a certain MO. And as soon as the big time guys, the leaders on both offense and defense, the guys for whom this particular project has been built upon, they come up and we go, actually, we need to change the way we handle business. I don't think that would be a smart way of doing things culturally in a people business.
Yeah.
So it feels like the Texans have done the work ahead, right? They pre-planned the way that they did. They built their MO. Mm-hmm. They've planned the ways that they typically handle contracts. And I think that it'll make it very easy for them to get in these situations where they won't have to have, you know, Will Anderson Jr. Not that I even think that he is the type of dude to do this.
Yeah.
Posting things about him wanting his money or, you know, requesting trades in order to get his money. I don't think that you're going to end up in a place where people are having to ask CJ about his contract questions time and time again into training camp before it gets done. I think that they have set themselves up in a very good way to, we know how they're going to handle it. We know it will get done. The only question is, what's the exact dollar amount and where do we sign?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree.
That's the thing that makes me very comfortable about these Texans. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, speaking of getting big money, again, salute to TJ Watt getting that that big-time deal, making him the highest-paid non-quarterback. And JJ Watt had a very funny tweet that highlighted something that he only made somewhere around that 123 in his entirety of his career, TJ will be making over the next 3 years. And it feels very unfair when you're an older sibling sometimes. So that got us going. Question of the day, what's the best thing that ever happened to you because you were a younger sibling? Or vice versa, what's the worst thing that happened because you were an older one? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Yeah, if you care at all about the British Open, Lopez is your guy. And if you are like me and you care just very little about golf, but just a little bit, and you know some of the things, Lopez, it gave me a little tickle, or a little a chuckle, rather. Mm-hmm. I guess those could be somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. When I looked up at the screen and I see tied for ninth, Tony Finau.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what it looks like up until about Saturday.
What do you mean?
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. You know enough.
Yeah, Tony Finau. I love him. He's a good golfer. Yeah. Just never seems to show up when you actually need it, huh?
Not on Sundays. How about the Hogard brothers? Figgy, the Hogard brothers are both in the top 10.
Is this someone I'm supposed to know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Salute to them.
Rasmus and Nico.
Who's older of the two?
I think Rasmus is.
By like, are we talking the minutes?
Hey, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, I was like, does it work the same with twins? Right, like, is there a circumstance where you're like, hey, man, this one that you are a few minutes older, and thus you get all of the bad treatment, or what have you? Because question of the day, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you just because you're the younger sibling, or vice versa? The worst thing that happens because you're the older one. 713-572-4610.
Because Rasmus is the older one by minutes.
Okay, there you go. I look, if we could ask them, I would like to check in with them and see exactly what their experience has been in that same way. For those of us that have siblings, we all know what it's like, man. Like, the younger ones they get all the love sometimes. It's always fun though seeing the families in which that is not the case.
Yeah.
Where it's flipped on its head or something in various different ways. It's like, oh man, you give all the love to the older kid because you view them as more responsible or whatever.
The real fun part is it never goes away. You know, I'm 63. And my big brothers and sisters to this day, oh, you got away with everything. Oh, you, they let you. And I did. Like the story I told earlier, and I got another one here. Basically what you could get away with that they couldn't, or what you were mad that your younger sibling could get away with that you couldn't, as in TJ Watt getting away with 3 years and $123+ million.
JJ had to work a whole career for 129, man. A whole damn career for that.
And that tweet you're talking about, JJ tweeted, I swear, if he even lets me reach for my wallet the next time I go to dinner with
him. Which, I saw that and I was like, all right, JJ, I think that was one banger tweet.
Yeah.
I like where we're going here.
Yeah.
We're going to ignore the fact that you be doing TV.
Yeah. Oh, JJ has a lot more money than TJ.
Like, JJ, we're going to pretend pretend like you wasn't on them commercials.
Yeah. The Watt family's worth half a bill.
Shout out to, man.
Half a bill.
Just imagine. I always think about that. Like, even with the Manning family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Manning family. They were rich before.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's go back in the day.
Yeah.
Before all of us was probably born.
Because Archie had all the endorsements and stuff and was a legend in Louisiana.
That's what I'm saying. All that football money, man.
Like, New Orleans, they lived in New Orleans.
Yes.
And the thing about New Orleans is, especially now, you can maybe look at there's a certain part of New Orleans with, you know, Magnolia Projects, all that. There's also a certain part of New Orleans that is bow ties and slacks.
You're darn
and
right.
They are that.
Yeah.
And I'm always amazed by the fact that Peyton Manning is so damn affable.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he comes off as somewhat every man in his quarter zips.
Could've while
he
is total brat.
He is not that.
Yeah.
Like, he really should not end up in the place that he does when it comes to be feeling like every man, except he does. Good for him.
I told the story earlier and I got another one that's pretty funny. But my brother and my older brother and sister, well, my two older brothers and my sister, I'm not kidding you, they had a curfew in high school of 10:30, including Fridays and Saturdays.
Wait, all the way across?
Across.
That's 10:30. Nasty.
You had to be home by 10:30.
Like, school night and weekend are the same. It's crazy.
Little clubs and parties.
10:30.
They get started. Well, I don't know about back in the
day.
Now,
I'm not saying they never snuck out of the house because I've heard stories, but they had to be home at 10:30. My curfew, Figgy, none.
Unlimited.
Unlimited. And they still give me a hard
time. You took advantage of that too, didn't
you? You're damn right I did.
Terrible.
Because I'm the youngest. But here's the story that was so funny. And
is this what you have written down as condom story?
The condom story.
What is that supposed to mean?
Y'all want to hear the condom story?
No. To be completely honest, I try to live my life in such a way where I don't ask questions. I think you
told this story before.
I've told you this story before, Figgy. So I was minding my own business in high school in the kitchen, which was right near the laundry room. And my mom would fold clothes on the kitchen table. Well, she comes out of the laundry room holding a condom and says, red eyed. She never got mad at me. Is this yours? Where did this come from? Because she was washing my clothes. And I just, in an instant, looked at the kitchen table, panicked, and I saw my big brother's clothes folded on the table because she had just done his and she was doing mine. I said, no, that's Manuel's. He probably came out of one of his pockets.
You're the worst.
I said, probably came out of one of his pockets. You know, like a nickel or a quarter.
Yeah,
you know, stays in the dryer.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay.
The worst.
Okay. Couldn't have been Johnny.
The worst. Did you explain what happened afterwards?
To who? My brother?
Yeah, to you. Did something else happen to you where he found out that you lied?
Oh, he beat the hell out of me. He beat the hell out of me.
I feel like there's certain trends that are popping up, and this one I very much relate to. From the 832, mom and dad were making more money when the young one was growing up, so it was all better for them. That is right.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's funny because for me, I was an only child for a long time, and then my little brothers came through. Mm-hmm. So there's a 13-year difference between me and the next one, and then a 16-year difference between me in the youngest. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine 13 to 16 years of difference in a career?
You were hot. You were hot.
And like there was a lot of, we got food at home that did not happen anymore all of a sudden. And I was like, oh, what?
Y'all going out to eat every night.
All the time. Them boys picky eaters now too, which is crazy. Cause I was like, buddy, I had to eat what was on that plate. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, I don't feel like that. Can we go to? I'm like, really?
I was kind of that kid. I wasn't picky. I was still kind of in the struggle. But my two older sisters, they were more in the struggle. Mm-hmm. They were like, they always talk about like government cheese and how the lights were out because she ain't had no money to pay the bill and just all this stuff going on. I never had to go through that. I never had to be the person that was hungry or anything like. They always had food on the table and stuff, and she got me some cool clothes and stuff like that. But me being the youngest, I was always the one. And then I kind of got that year's difference between my sisters too. So I never went through the things Seth went through where they were like picking on me and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They were more like another mother.
Yeah.
So there was that much. So my sister used to buy me Jordans and all that stuff.
Okay, so you got benefit. Oh, well, then they gave you additional benefits.
He's the youngest.
Yeah, I was the youngest. So I was like I was really the baby brother.
Yeah.
All right, so was this also your experience here, Fig? Because from the 281, they said their sister got everything earlier than they did. Cell phone, going to concerts, later curfew like you, Lopez, because they broke the mold. Younger siblings have it so easy. did you feel like that? You got things younger as well, like then compared to your siblings?
Not really. I never really had that feeling. And plus, it was a little different because it was two older sisters. They was into other stuff, too.
Ah, yeah.
But, I do feel like my mother spoiled me a little more than them.
Yeah.
Because with two sisters around the same age, you can't really pick one or the other type of deal. So,
yeah. So you were the baby by yourself.
Mm-hmm. I felt like the only child, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was kind of like I was the only child because by the time I can remember, I think my second oldest sister was like 16, maybe 15, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And the 713, this, you know, I was grounded all the time. My younger sister got away with everything. And that's part of it. Like, they just stopped caring. Like, the parents just stopped, like, whatever.
And I'm sure you can attest this. Like, I think also with parents is some of that hard-nosed discipline comes from a level of fear of, oh, man, I don't know how this all works. Yeah. And then you find out that, hey, I might have been tripping.
Yeah.
I might have been doing a lot. This could work a lot easier for both of us.
Or it could be a thing where you like, man, I know exactly what he's doing with this guy. I'm not even about to stress out about it anymore. I did it twice.
Yeah.
So I ain't about to stress out about this.
And on the YouTube, it says a very similar story about the older sister. And this is true, too. By the time I was born, my parents were exhausted. Kind of what you're talking, like they were just like, I ain't doing this no more.
Yeah.
Parents are worn out. Yeah. It's just a common refrain.
I was going to say, I think another good thing about me being the youngest and my sisters was that much older, they'd be ready to fight people over me.
Oh, yeah.
So if I get in some type of trouble with the teacher or something like that, they be ready to go up to the school to fight. I had to hold them back like, no. Like, they be ready to fight for their little brother.
Yeah. That is the beauty as well, is that you got built-in henchmen, which, again, I've seen a number of younger siblings use their advantage. Like, hey, don't do that. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do love in sports is that it seems like this is always the trend whenever you have a family of siblings. It's always the youngest that's the best, ain't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which, I guess this is the one where JJ might be able to be like, nah, dog, I got you on this one. Like, JJ's still better than TJ, right?
Yes. Yeah. I had that conversation, too. We were talking a lot of sports last night with my son's house. I was like, TJ is awesome. Hall of Famer. JJ's better.
Because I always think of it in basketball, but it happens in a lot of other sports where it's like that kid had to play up usually, like he had to play amongst his brothers or what have you.
Yeah.
So he had to play at a higher standard for his age, and usually that helps foster development to where the youngest is often the best of the bunch. JJ's like, nah,
no,
I broke the mold there.
Not this one.
We got it over here. So yeah, hold that one, JJ.
And there's Derek.
Don't say it like that. Yeah. See, this is what I don't like. You don't have to do that to Derek.
And see, that's why his middle son is his favorite. Derek is the older, right? Derek is the oldest.
I don't remember.
Is he the middle?
No, JJ's the oldest.
So Derek is the middle.
I thought he was the youngest. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. He's being a jerk. All right. You're in the loop right here.
Good
on
job,
Sports
Derek.
Radio 610. 361, my younger brother got a car at 16, didn't have to work until he finished school. I had to work at 15. That's right.
That's right.
They sent you to the salt mines. Yeah. That's what you, and when you're talking to that younger brother, you make it, obviously, you know, dress it up. Man, I was in there working in the factory at 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Left middle school, went right to the factory. Derek is the middle, according to B. Scott. And speaking of, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. B. Scott joins us to break down what is happening in the National Football League. And I wonder if he is as interested as I am in the unfurling of the NFLPA drama. Let's talk about it next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.